Hello, everybody. Welcome
Hello.
To Random Movie Thoughts. This is a little fun segment we like to do on the roundtable, especially for our little second episodes here. Before we dive into our random movie thoughts and the fun little rabbit holes they go down, a majority of you are going to be watching slash listening to this. I know it's available a little bit earlier for video, but a majority of you are going to be watching or listening to this on Thursday, March the 28th. And ladies and gentlemen, Thursday, March the 28th is Nicholas's birthday.
That is accurate, yes.
So I got you a gift.
Oh my God, I get it early? Is it because you want
it
on this
show? Don't break the illusion that we're not recording on said day.
I'm getting it today.
So here's the thing, guys.
I'm horrified.
Here's the thing.
Is it a thing?
That'd be so funny if it was, but no. There is a huge chance, like enormous chance, that Nicholas already has what I'm giving him. Okay? Huge. For the purposes of this show,
act like
you've never seen this before in your life. And this is just, wow. Unbelievable.
I hope I have it, and I hope that you have given it to me.
Can I tell you, part of my planned opening was to say, you might have this, and I might have given it to you. That literally, oh, now, if that is the case, you can call me out on that. That's fine. He knows how scatterbrained I am, and I forget things, and
okay.
I don't have
so if I already have it, and it's not from you, I've never seen it before.
Yes.
And if I do have it, and it's from you, give you all the shit in the world.
Correct.
All right.
You ready?
I'm horrified.
Here you go, sir.
Is it an article of clothing? It is an article of clothing. Let's see here. I do not have this.
Oh, good.
It's a Batman Forever shirt.
Yes.
It's the best Batman movie.
No, but we'll get into that.
Where did we find this?
Don't worry about it.
I love it. I love it. Top's coming off, boys.
Oh, future Dalton, come to me. Turn the shot on me.
You know, I don't see where it's going to go over.
Or I can just put a Patreon logo over your...
my naked body.
Yeah, we don't have a Patreon, but it would be a good bit.
No one wants to see that.
I mean, I do, if we're being honest with each other.
Ba-na-na. Oh, that'll get us demonetized. I love it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Do I thank Hannah as well?
Sure.
This is just for me. Oh, man. Is there garbage in here?
Go for it. For those listening, he just rocketed that at my door. That went so much faster than I thought it was going to go. It was
so quick.
Thank you.
I love it.
You're welcome. So, for it being your birthday, I wanted you to start this and talk about your favorite movies, and then we'll go on the rabbit hole from there.
My favorite movies? Oh, boy. Well, Batman Forever.
Correct.
Con Air. Silence of the Lambs.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll get some actual serious ones in there.
So is Con Air not serious to you? Do you not take Con Air seriously?
Oh, I take it very seriously.
I know you do.
Recently, The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou has really snuck in there.
Yep.
You know what we're going to do, though, too? I recently did update. I'm going to put up my Letterboxd top four that I have going right now.
Oh, look at this guy. This schmuck. Hold on. Letterboxd top four.
Hold on. One, link to the Letterboxd in the description.
Fuck you.
Two, Hannah's brother just saw Ghostbusters and wrote a review, so I got to read that really quick.
Yep.
So brief pause.
That's fine.
This is Letterboxd review of Hannah's brother. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. 2 stars. It's like the writers were in a competition to see how many cliches they could stuff into a single script.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's fair.
Brilliant.
Well, we definitely have Life Aquatic. Mm-hmm. We gotta have The Nice Guys on there. Love The Nice Guys.
Yes. The Nice Guys is probably one of my favorite movies,
and
too.
And more recently, a lot of The Banshees of Inisherin. of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Big time.
That's where we're at.
So, Con Air.
Yes. Greatest movie of all time, yes.
Describe your first time watching that movie and why it means so much to you. When I was a boy.
When I was a child. Remember the first time you orgasmed?
Oh, God.
Oh, man. I remember watching it and being like, I was a Nick Cage fan and I'd never seen it. And, you know, you come to expect a certain level of things mm-hmm. with Nicolas Cage.
Excellence.
And,
go on.
And Con Air just delivers on every aspect of that to me.
This is accurate.
It is an unapologetically fun, good time.
Correct.
It is highly entertaining. I rewatched it recently, as I do. And I gotta say, the camera work, the visual appealness of it, it's much more visually interesting than a lot of movies I've seen recently.
You are not wrong.
And I do give it that credit.
Uh-huh.
They put the camera in a lot of fun places. Simon West needs to direct more.
Oh, yes, he does.
He has made Con Air.
Mm-hmm.
He's made the music video to Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up, which is great in and of itself there. Yes. And he made Expendables 2, which is the best Expendables movie.
It's an arguable masterpiece, in my opinion.
So, I think he needs to direct more.
I'm all about that.
But the script is just fun. John Malkovich is just crushing it as Cyrus the Virus. John Cusack did not want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it is a fun movie.
Do you buy the fan theory that this is a prequel to Big Lebowski and Steve Buscemi is playing Donnie in that movie?
I don't. But I'll tell you which one I do buy into.
Go on.
And that's that Sean Connery's character in The Rock with Nick Cage James Bond.
Okay. I like that fan theory too. And first of all, The Rock, it's a good movie.
It's a very good
movie. It might be Michael Bay's best movie. It's arguable.
Dark of the Moon.
What?
I'm kidding.
Okay, I was about to be like, what do you mean? But The Rock is good.
Pain and Game's pretty funny.
Pain and Game's fun.
No,
Armageddon. What am I doing? But yeah.
The Rock is better.
Here's the thing, you might be right. but it's a close battle between The Rock and Armageddon. Honestly, I would kill to have that filmography. I'm just going to say that.
Oh, fuck. Forgot about Ambulance.
I never saw Ambulance.
You never saw Ambulance?
No.
Dude, you gotta watch Ambulance. It's so good. It's so good.
I heard he uses drones a lot.
Oh my god, yeah, he does.
I've seen some clips of it.
Oh, it's immaculate. It's incredible. Yeah.
Simon West made Expendables 2.
Simon West did make Expendables 2.
That made me think of Expendables 4, which you finally watched recently.
I watched that on the plane, which seemed like the most appropriate place to watch it, with shitty audio quality and a screen that kept flickering in and out.
Oh my god, what a disaster, right?
Yeah.
It's not good.
No.
And it's not even bad like the other Expendables movies are bad, because at least the other Expendables movies, especially the second movie, is self-aware. Like, Chuck Norris shows up and does a Chuck Norris joke. Like, that's the type of movie we're dealing with here. This movie didn't even have that level of self-awareness. It was just bad.
Well, like, and here's the thing that's exhausting of it, right? So, I don't dislike Expendables 3.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a huge step down from 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But it still kind of had the heart and the fun of what you want from an Expendables movie.
And you had that, like, believable camaraderie between them as well.
Exactly. But they did the whole thing where then they take a section of the movie to then go and collect the new blood.
Mm-hmm.
With the idea of, okay, well, we're going to use this to push the franchise forward. Then nothing happens, Expendables 4 take years, and now they're like, all right, well, here's a new group of different people that we're just going to buy into.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, the movie begins with them already all established, where they're like, oh, yes, Megan Fox and 50 Cent and all these other people are all just Expendables now. And I'm just supposed to be like, okay, all right, yeah, but there's Randy Couture, right on. There's Dolph Lundgren. Okay, so there are some people here.
Yeah, and just from a production standpoint, the visuals were terrible. The visual effects were terrible. The script, my God. There's a 20-minute section of the movie where Jason Statham, and the actor's name is leaving me, and I feel so bad.
I will find it, because he's that good that we need
to say his
give
name.
Give him proper credit.
But they go on the boat and start kicking ass together, and that was like the first time watching that movie. I was like, okay, this is the Expendables movie that I came to see.
Tony Jaa.
Yeah, oh, it's Tony Jaa.
It is Tony
okay,
Jaa.
Okay, great. They...
Desha?
Yes, they were great together. And, like, their choreography was good. Their camaraderie was there. Even the camaraderie between Stallone and Statham felt off in the movie, which you'd think they would at least get that right. And you know what?
Yeah.
There's a joke in the movie that is so funny. it was worth the price of admission. And it's when Dolph Lundgren is sniping somebody and he misses and he goes, ugh, and he puts his glasses on and then tries again. Hilarious. I'll give him that.
Very good. There's just, like, just looking at the cast again. Like, okay, you know who I did like? I did like Jacob Scipio's character.
Okay.
He was the Galan. He was the, I want to say he was Hispanic character in it.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Someone that just kept talking nonstop.
Yes.
I found him very funny.
Yes. I enjoy Iko or Iko Uwaisis, however you say his name.
Yes.
I enjoy him always.
Oh, the girl with the chains. That fight scene was pretty good.
Yes. I thought they need to give him better American movies. They never really given him a great American movie. And he's my guy. The Raid is amazing. Night Comes for Us is amazing. He's amazing.
So how in depth do we want to go about Expendables 4?
I mean, okay. We don't have to, but you can go on.
No, but listen. All right. So the movie starts. The movie starts.
Okay.
And there's this opening action scene and whatever happens. It's with the Raid guy.
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, cool. Well, there's our villain. Neat. Then it cuts, and it's just Jason Statham and Megan Fox fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And Sylvester Stallone shows up and is like, ugh. And Jason Statham's like, ugh. They go to this bar, and he's like, I hurt my back. They stole my ring. I lost in a bet. I need it back. And then Jason Statham just proceeds to get into a massive bar fight. Sylvester Stallone flips one person over a table.
Yep.
And that's it. And then we're on to the mission, in which Sylvester Stallone immediately dies.
Quote, unquote.
Quote, dies. Unquote, dies in a fiery, massive plane crash, which, even when they explain, spoilers alert, that he survives, makes no logistical sense.
Oh, no. By the way, spoilers for a movie that you probably didn't even realize was out. Go on.
Yeah.
And let's not forget the incredibly bad acting from Andy Garcia.
Yes, but then on top of that, you then have Jason Statham's character expelled from the Expendables, and then the movie then proceeds to follow him for the majority of the movie,
yep.
Who is not an Expendable anymore. Down what is arguably the most interesting plot of the whole movie.
I agree.
And that he just wants to avenge Sylvester Stallone.
And that's when he runs into Tony Jaa.
And Tony Jaa and him have great chemistry, and the fight scenes are great.
Yeah.
And then the other Expendables, what happens to them? They get captured.
Almost immediately.
Almost immediately. To which then Jason Statham, who's no longer an Expendable, has to go and rescue them. And what happens? He does. And Megan Fox is like, who's now the leader of the Expendables, is like, yes, this was all part of my plan. Someone, Jason Statham, to be fired from the Expendables and then rescue them, which means that part of their plan was to get caught. But it wasn't.
No, not
at all.
They
just got caught.
Exactly.
And the movie's just like, you'll forget about that point. And then they set up a tank. And 50 Cent's in the movie. His name's Easy Day. I don't know where they get any of these nicknames from. Christmas, Randy Couture's Toll Road.
Yeah.
Gunner, and he's a sniper, and his name's Gunner, Dolph Lundgren's character.
Yeah.
Why is he not Snipes? Oh, and what happened to Wesley Snipes? Not in this one.
Keep going.
So then, 50 Cent, Easy Day, makes this giant tank out of whatever they have on this boat. And then as the distraction, then proceeds to play over the speakers on this tank, PIMP, by who? 50 Cent. Which is the second movie released that year that featured PIMP.
Yes.
Expendables 4 and Anatomy of a Fall. Think of that for just a minute.
Keep going. I'm loving this.
So then, the person who's revealed to be the bad guy is not the guy from the Raid. It is, in fact, Andy Garcia, who gave them the mission to stop Andy Garcia.
Yep, that's true.
The villain gave the heroes the mission to stop the villain, who is the villain.
Yep. And it's not like it was an elaborate trap to kill all the Expendables, because they captured them early on. because they could have just used that opportunity to lure them into a trap and kill them all, but they didn't even do that.
No. He gave them every opportunity to stop him. Awful performance by Andy Garcia, especially the reveal. But then,
oh, yeah.
Then there's a giant blowout fight with all the Expendables, which the action was okay.
Yeah.
There were some good highlights. Anything Tony Jaa and Jason Statham were doing.
Yeah.
And the girl with the chains.
Yeah.
She was pretty good. And then things are about to happen. And the bad guy, Andy Garcia, is about to win with, I don't even know what his, I think he wanted a thumb drive.
Something like that.
Nuclear codes.
That's what it was.
Something. All of a sudden, he gets gunned down by a helicopter, to which it's very high up in the air, to which Jason Statham character looks up and goes, Barney? And you get the reveal that Sylvester Stallone is still alive.
Yeah.
How could he tell from that distance? It's the middle of the night.
In a helicopter.
In a helicopter.
I think the sun had risen at that point, if I'm not mistaken.
But still.
Yeah.
So then Stallone shows up there, and he says, I couldn't let you in on the plan. I needed to fake my death so that this file got released, which would help us track down Andy Garcia. Why did they have to lie? Like, Jason Statham didn't need to. Jason Statham being in on the plan versus not being on the plan makes no difference to the movie.
Not at all.
But the movie made a choice to make him not part of the plan.
If anything, it makes him feel like a non-respected member of
he's
the
He's a non-respected member of the Expendables. And he's not even. And now he's an Expendable again.
Yeah.
But, like, it just makes no sense because him faking the death. And he brings him there so they can get the ring back so that they find the ring on the corpse of the body. And the body is the guy that Sylvester Stallone lost the ring to. So they visually establish that's the person, but they only show you that in the reveal. But here's the thing. They didn't need to have Jason Statham go see the ring. Sylvester Stallone could have just went, got the guy, put him in the plane, and killed him. And they'd be like, oh, yeah. That's the ring I always see him with.
Yeah. Oh, you're so right. Because it would have just been the guy with the ring on.
He would have been like, oh, yeah, that's Sylvester Stallone's ring.
Yeah.
Surely this is his body.
Yeah, and you can cut out the whole plot point of, like, we need to go get my ring back.
But then also, why are all the other Expendables in on the plan except for except for Jason Statham? It just ruins their whole dynamic.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it pissed me off so much. Oh, God, it made me so angry.
Ladies and gentlemen, Movie Nights, the only place where you can see passionate discussions about the Expendables franchise and their misfortunes. You know, one day we'll have to do an episode about how good Expendables 2 is. I think that'll help counterbalance.
I wanted to rewatch it, but the plane didn't have it. It just had Expendfordables.
Yep. Yep. You know what?
It's ironic. The franchise itself is expendable.
Wah, wah, wah. Listen, where's the A24 prequel called Expendable about the mission that Mickey Rourke talks about in the first one? Where is that movie? Listen, Nicholas, that's for us. We buy the rights to the Expendables. Whoa. They got to be cheap now. And then we go to A24 and say, for no reason, we're going to make a very good character-driven movie about this Expendables mission that Mickey Rourke talks about in the first movie. We just need $3 million.
Listen, do you remember the meme that said, listen, I only care about the Jason Statham movies. They can just call it Jason Statham 23 and I'll go see it. Yeah. I don't need to see The Beekeeper. But, like, why not just make him Christmas in every single one of those movies? Because he plays the same character in every movie.
Yeah.
And it's just Christmas on a new adventure.
Yeah.
You don't need to bring in any of the other Expendables.
No.
You don't even need to reference it. Just his name is Christmas.
Yep.
And he's fighting a giant shark.
Yep. That's fine.
His name is Christmas and he's keeping bees.
Correct.
I do want a very serious Expendable movie.
For no reason. It's like great.
Would it be Mickey Rourke's character that the movie's focused on?
It would be Stallone. It would be him and Mickey Rourke. Because I'm pretty sure in the Mickey Rourke speech, it's been a while since I've seen the first Expendables, he talks about, like, them both kind of being there. I could be wrong about that, though.
But younger, different actors.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
it's young.
Entirely.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But, like, we hire, like, great screenwriters. Like, it's, like, a great movie for no reason.
I'm down.
Me
I
too.
I support this.
I'm in. I am in. If you want to see us start a crowdfunding campaign to buy the rights to The Expendables, let us know. Listen, I'll do it.
No. Listen.
Go on.
Listen. An actual holiday adventure.
With Christmas.
And you literally call it Barney Saves Christmas.
And in the movie, Barney Saves Christmas.
Yes, and also Christmas.
And can it have a setup similar to Die Hard?
Yes.
Okay, good. This is already better than Expendables 4.
It honestly, it is. Sylvester Stallone saving Christmas and Christmas.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Pretty good.
But imagine doing the A24 serious one that, like, gets Independent Spirit nominations.
Yeah.
And then we follow it up with Barney Saves Christmas. It'd be incredible. It'd be so... Everyone in the trades would be like, why did they do this?
It's very simple. Santa breaks into Sylvester Stallone's house, and Sylvester Stallone just kills him. And then he's like, oh, shit, agreement. And then he has to take the sled.
Oh, God.
And go save Christmas.
Listen, I want a couple things to be known. Sylvester Stallone, personal hero of mine. Andy Garcia, great actor. Awful job on Expendables 4, the both of you.
Guys, bad.
But...
Jason Statham, I give no blame to you.
But with that being said...
You're perfect.
Whenever I see Sylvester Stallone in a new thing, guess what my first thing is? My
oh,
first
shit,
instinct.
Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, shit, I gotta check that out. I love that man. That's the first thing my body does. Every time.
Oh, God.
Ugh. I really appreciate you diving into the Expendables 4 like that.
Just let him direct the next one.
Yeah.
Expendables. But that last S is
a 5.
Five.
There you go. I'm all in on this.
Wait, what's the Roman 5? That's the V, right? V. Oh, shit.
Expendable.
There's no V. Expendables : something with a V.
Yo, hold on. We gotta get this bitch to 10 so that the X in Expendables can just be a little bigger.
Like Fast X?
Yes. But like EX.
Yes.
Expendables.
Massive. Yeah. Massive. Yeah.
Oh.
In that movie, Jason Statham was an X.
Oh my God. Man, this is too good. Oh, Nick. I've cracked it.
And where was Kelsey Grammer? He was great in the third
Correct.
One.
Correct. I've cracked it.
I think that of most movies, though.
For Expendable 5, because the S is the 5.
Expendable 5.
Expendables, at the lowest point of the franchise career right now. Who's at the lowest point of their directing career who specializes in creating action movies with fun bits?
Simon West. Bring him back.
As much as I'd enjoy that, no. Who will probably take a pay cut to get a hit movie out there. Come on, read my mind.
David Ayer.
No, Beekeeper did great.
Action director.
Who specializes
in fun bits.
They just had a big, big movie flop.
Matthew Vaughn.
For Expendables 5, baby. Let's fucking go. Come on. Give it to me.
I think here's what you do. Here's what you do. I think that you take the Fast and Furious approach where you can keep changing the titles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this next one is just called The Expendable 5.
And you just have 5 of them. Oh my God. That would be amazing. It would be Christmas.
Naturally.
Stallone.
Unfortunately.
Hey.
I don't want Stallone. I want Stallone to be like, I want it to have
he's,
like.
He's the guy in the chair.
I want it like an Avengers feel. Like, I want Stallone to be Fury.
Yeah.
And then he sends out these Christmas and these other 5.
Yeah. All right, so we got... Oh, so he sends out the other 5.
Yes, he's not part of the 5.
Okay. So, Christmas.
Yes.
Let's fire that one producer and bring back Terry Crews.
Yes.
Let's get Jet Li in there again.
I mean, you gotta keep Lundgren or Couture.
I don't know. I feel like they could be with Stallone.
They're just vibing in the bar.
Yeah.
Are we pulling specifically from past franchise? Or are we throwing
I
in
say,
some new
I say
blood?
We get one new person, but four of them.
Four returning
yes.
ones. Okay, so you want Stallone? No, sorry, Statham,
mm-hmm.
Jet Li, Terry Crews.
Yep.
Okay.
For my fourth one, I would personally do.
I'm trying to like remember the cat. Oh, you know, actually, you know who we need back. Actually, though,
who
isn't he in the third one? Isn't Glenn Powell in the third one?
I don't remember. Honestly,
I forgot that Jet Li's name was Yin Yang.
I'd be down for Wesley Snipes.
But you got Wesley Snipes. Don't forget, you got Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
Kelsey Grammer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Glenn Powell wasn't it. He's too big now for that.
Hold on. Here's my five. Ready?
Yep.
Ready? Statham, Jet Li, Terry Crews, Wesley Snipes, and your newcomer, Nicolas Cage.
False. Nick Cage is the villain.
Okay. Then the newcomer is Mila Djokovic. Or Kate Beckinsale.
He was in Expendables 2, and I don't remember if he was a villain or not, but I know for a fact that Scott Adkins was in it.
He was a villain.
Fuck.
He was a villain, and Jason Statham killed him with a plane propeller. I remember Expendables 2 very well. Don't. If you need Expendables 2 knowledge, I got you, buddy.
Oh my God, I forgot about Steve Austin.
Yes, he was in the first one.
Yeah, because Expendables 3 is when they wanted to expand. Expendables 3 is when they had, like, Glenn Powell, Victor Ortiz, Ronda Rousey, Keelan Lutz. All right, so it's Statham, Jet Li, Terry Crews,
Statham, Wesley Snipes. Statham, Jet Li, Wesley Snipes, and either Mila Djokovic or Kate Beckinsale.
And then a Cage villain.
Yes. And then in the bar at the end, you get Stallone, Couture, Lundgren, Schwarzenegger.
They bookend it,
yeah.
All the whole crew.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now he's an actor. I feel like Conor McGregor might just fit right in there as an expendable.
If he has an overdose from drugs, sure.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
You know what actually would be a good female addition, though, to it? Mm. The actress who's in the new Roadhouse, who was also Ratcatcher.
Oh, Daniela Melon.
Yes.
Yeah. She'd be very good.
I think she'd be very good in Expendables.
She would. She would. Honestly, Margot Robbie, but she's probably too expensive.
Remember they were supposed to do a female spinoff, Expendables?
Expendabellas.
Yeah.
Yeah, never happened. I mean, Scarlett Johansson could work.
I feel like this is too dead of a franchise, though. I feel like you really got to be scraping the barrel for some of these people.
Listen, you give a nice little juicy role to Colin Jost, we make it happen.
That's fair. This is fair. Oh, man. What a time to be alive.
If only we had money, then we could make it happen.
Yes.
Oh, jeez. You know?
Nick Cage and...
As villains?
Yes. Nick Cage and... Hold on, I don't know why I'm blanking on his name. John Travolta as the villains.
Oh, my God. That would be brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
Does Nick Cage have an accent?
Whatever the fuck he wants to do.
Yo, speaking of Nick Cage, have you seen the trailer for Long Legs?
I've not.
Bro.
Yeah?
It looks creepy as fuck, and I cannot wait. Apparently he plays like the serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
All about it. It looks good.
That would be good.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the trailer for In a Violent Nature, I think it's called?
Yes.
Looks pretty good.
It does. Good. I saw a couple cool trailers for Immaculate. When I was at Immaculate, because
yeah.
Like, Neon movies, Cuckoo, I think is the name of one of them.
Oh, with the actress from Euphoria?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
Looks very good.
Mm-hmm.
There was a visual in that trailer that was very frightening.
Oh.
Where I was like, oh my God, like, that's a great, like it's hard to come across, like, great visual scares, like, that haven't been used.
Yeah.
And basically, it's in the trailer, so I don't mind, like, talking about it, is she's on a bike and she has headphones on, and you see someone chase her, like, from far away, but she just keeps biking, and then the camera goes to her shadow of her biking, and then right behind her shadow is another shadow of a person running and reaching out.
Oh, Jesus.
It was like, it doesn't sound that scary when I say it. It looked horrific. Yeah. Like when I was watching it, I was like, yo, that's such a good visual. Like how they did that. But yeah.
Well, if you want to talk about good creepy trailers.
Oh, let's go.
Alien Romulus.
Dude.
Holy shit.
I'm so excited for Alien Romulus. So,
the poster was incredible.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It reminded me of the posters for Covenant. They had good posters, too.
They had really good posters.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So when do we have any information on Romulus? When
August.
When, no, but I mean, when are we?
In between Alien and Aliens.
So 1 and 2?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sort of an isolated, separate thing?
Yep. Because, like, hundreds of years happened in between Alien 1 and 2, so.
Well, since we're on it, too, we're on, like, kind of horror trailers and stuff. Beetlejuice.
Oh, dude. Not a great trailer, but, like,
no.
I'm excited. I'm going to watch it.
A few thoughts.
Yep.
One, I love Catherine O'Hara. Very scared after Argyle.
Hey, I thought she was perfectly fine in Argyle.
I thought she was awful.
I enjoyed Argyle. I swear to God, me and Ruben are the only people on this planet who enjoyed that film. I swear to God, I can't find...
Yep.
I had my friend Daniel at work go watch it.
Mm-hmm.
He came back and he was like, that was fucking horrible. Like he was so angry. It almost felt like he was upset with me because he was like, I'll never get that time
How
back.
Dare you?
That's what it felt like.
I saw it twice.
So did I.
I needed to make sure I wasn't crazy.
I saw it twice too.
But Beetlejuice. Yeah. What's fun is I love that you hear this orchestra version of Deo, and it cuts and it's revealed that people are singing at a funeral.
Yeah.
I feel like that's actually going to be a possession scene, and they just hit it in the trailer there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I just love the first words out of his mouth are just such a dated reference.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's on brand.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited for it. I'm excited because Michael Keaton's excited,
yes,
to be honest with you.
Michael Keaton's been very excited.
Because, like, in random interviews, like, if you mention all the cool shit he's done, he's like, yeah, Batman, whatever, like, Spider-Man, whatever. He's like, yo, this Beetlejuice movie's good. Like, he keeps saying it, and I'm like...
The juice of the loot.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, Michael Keaton.
I'm very, very excited for that.
Yeah, me too. By the way, he has a movie that he directed in theaters right now called Knox Goes Away. And I might go watch it tonight. But because it's down, it's only at Regals now. They've kicked it out of AMC in our area, and it's down to like 2 show times. Nicholas, it is about a contract killer who has dementia, and it looks really good. And he directed it.
Oh my God, Michael Keaton, Al Pacino,
James Marsden.
You know what was good with Michael Keaton, though, that I actually did like was that action movie he did a few years ago?
I know what you're going to say.
Protégé?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What a movie.
I never saw it.
It's directed by Martin Campbell.
Oh, well, that's actually makes me want to see it.
You're like, that actually intrigues me.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts on it.
Yeah. That's fun.
I probably gave it an awful Letterboxd review. Let's see. Hold on. Let's see. I have found that I say, like, oh, yeah, that was really good. I'll go to my Letterboxd and be like 1.5 and be like, oh, maybe it wasn't. I've watched it.
It's not too late to give it 5 stars.
No, but there are 3 people who we regularly go to the movies with that have seen it. The ratings are 3.5, 3, and 1.5.
1.5's got to be Kyler.
Yeah.
Okay. 3 is Sam or Mauricio.
Okay.
And the 3.5 is the other one.
God damn, you got that perfect.
Knew it.
I
promise to God I did not look at that beforehand.
You didn't even know about the movie. You haven't even seen the movie.
There's no way I could have known. No. Yes, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think I'd probably sit at about a 3 on remembering it.
Okay. Yeah, no, if it's fun, cool, or has action, Kyler's, it's not going past 2 stars.
Oh, but Mr. Dalton, the fucking, you know what, Spiral from the Book of Saw.
Yeah, 0.5 star if I ever fucking rated it.
You've been rating stuff, though.
I've started this year, yeah.
You have started this year.
You know what it is for me? Mm. As someone who shoots, edits, and plans things about movies all day long, the last thing I want to do is fucking write about them.
Well, if you're already speaking about them in a review, it's kind of... You should just put the review link in and call it there.
I could do that, but I've used it. Like, if it's like a movie that hasn't been seen by a lot of people, I'll do a serious review. If it's like a popular movie, I'll do like a meme review.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've started too.
I would just like to point out, and I have been going back and forth on this a lot, but because we're coming up the end of March, I think it's very important to point out. I've been going back and forth because I gave The Beekeeper and I gave Ghostbusters Frozen Empire both 3 stars.
Fair.
Which, aside from Dune at 5 stars, which was a movie that was supposed to technically come out last year.
Yeah.
Beekeeper might still be the number one movie of the year, guys.
Other than Dune. I mean, I think you're wrong. But, like, let me...
In terms of...
Now it's time for me to pull my shit up. Let me see here.
Okay, I should say in terms of what I've seen.
Fair. Because
you have seen a lot more...
That's true.
...year releases than...
I mean, the fact that you haven't even mentioned Madam Web is a bit odd.
Only 9 movies. How many weeks in? That seems wrong.
No, I know mine's wrong because it says 14 and I've watched way more than 14.
Yeah. That's fair. I'm at 9. So, like, my top 3 are Dune, Beekeeper, and Ghostbusters.
I mean, listen, what a triple feature if you ask me. I would say you did your top 3?
Yes.
I would say my top 3 right now are Dune 2. It's probably Beekeeper in second.
That's what I'm saying.
Actually, no. Dune 2. Oh, because okay, I know what happened. Dune 2, Problemista, and Love's Lives Bleeding. Not in that order.
Okay, yeah, I haven't
but
seen
like
those.
It's probably those 3.
And what of Jennifer Lopez's This Is Me...
I'm not gonna watch it. Immaculate might be fighting for that top 3 as of right now.
Okay.
I can tell you my worst movies of the year so far.
Go on.
Madam Web, Night Swim, and Bob Marley. Well, I think Miller's Girl might have not have been as good as Bob Marley, but Miller's Girl at least went for something.
I think my bottom 3...
Kung Fu Panda 4 also.
I think it goes Madam Web, Bob Marley, Argyle. I think are the last 3 there. Yeah.
Shame. Shame, I say.
I'm glad that I'm not crazy and that Beekeeper's also like your number 2 of the year.
I mean... I like Beekeeper very much.
Yes.
But like 3 stars is my, I enjoyed this movie rating.
Oh, yes. But
you know what I mean?
I think it's more of a comment on the quality of movies that get released this time of year.
Yeah, probably. Because here's the thing. Here are all the movies I've given 3 stars to give you for this year. Just to give you like a.
We do have Godzilla Kong this week, though, and that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. So here are the films I've given 3 stars just to give you a context of this year.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't rated it yet, but probably Ghostbusters 2. I might go 2.5 on it, but like it's
I
right
gave it
there.
3 right now, yeah.
It's right there. Drive Away Dolls.
I gave it 3.
Argyle, which...
I did not give it 3.
I know. Mean Girls.
I gave it 2.5.
I gave it 3. And Beekeeper, I've given 3.
Hmm.
And there might be films I haven't added yet
that
I would have given 3. But yeah.
Interesting things to come in the coming months.
I agree. I'm very excited for the new season of Doctor Who, Nicholas, I gotta tell you.
The trailer looked good.
It was very good. But yeah, I think that'll do it for Random Movie Thoughts today.
I think so.
I'm very glad we did this.
Same. Thank you for my shirt.
Of course. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And, you know, anything else you want to add before we go?
No.
Fair. That was always like me for some reason that reminds me like I don't know why in school like in middle and high school they would be like this paper needs to be 3 to 5 pages it's like so barely 3 pages got it
mm-hmm.
like why are you putting the to 5 on me like that
yeah,
like oh I'm gonna get inspired and write more
it's gonna be the bare minimum
yeah it's like we're in science do you think I'm just gonna get suddenly excited I don't think so you've seen my You've seen my illegible handwriting and the doodles that attempt to come from it. I don't think it's going to happen. But yes, thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you next week.